That's good.
Like, you had a tailor in here?
Yeah. I lost 70 pounds, man.
Looking good, man.
70 pounds.
Looking good. You did get thick for a minute.
Yeah, it happens.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Hot Box, and I'm Evan Britton.
And I'm Mike Tyson.
And Mike, we've got a blast from the past here,
no,
baby.
Big time. These are my brothers right here, Manny and Mike. What's up?
What's up, Mike?
That's it.
What's happening, Mike?
Welcome, guys.
Hey, let me tell you one thing. You know, this is how it starts. Before we say anything, you know, I was in a Madison Square Garden gym in Phoenix, Arizona, and I met Manny. What was that, 97? What was that?
96 or something like that.
96, 97.
Yeah. Wow.
I met Manny. Yeah. And then he's been coming in my workouts, watching him, right? He's been watching me work out, coming in my workouts.
So then you start sending us to your fights. We were going to your fights in Vegas.
The one-round fights.
I forgot about that shit.
Yeah, the first one.
I keep forgetting. When I was fighting, I used to always give tickets away.
Yeah.
I forget about it because I haven't fought in a long time. I forgot. I used to always give my friends tickets. People live in the hood, they can't afford the tickets. I give them tickets to come to fight.
First one was Francois Botha.
Yeah.
So that was my first pro fight that I ever went to.
That was a little scary. He looked like he was trying to do something for me.
I was saying that out there. I was telling them. I was getting mad that he was fighting so hard.
Yeah. Do something.
Until you guilt him.
Really?
Until he died. Yeah.
He shot him down.
That, I remember exactly where I was sitting and exactly what I felt when you hit him with that right.
Listen, I didn't feel nothing. It felt like I missed.
Right.
That's weird, right?
Yeah. Because you didn't even extend, really. You didn't have to.
Boom.
He came right into you.
Boom.
He walked in.
Mm.
Yep. Into it. Yeah.
That was my first experience. That was my first time going to Vegas.
How did you feel seeing all those people and stars?
That was a highlight of my life.
When
you was giving me tickets, I was sitting. Who was that sitting behind us? Who's that celebrity?
It was a lot of people.
De Niro, one of them. They were sitting behind us.
De Niro was there.
Yeah. They go behind you.
Yeah.
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 Grade, right?
Yeah.
Me.
Oh yeah, we had excellent seats to where we could. The shot, the knockout, you felt it. You felt the thud. You didn't just hear it. You felt it.
Right. Yeah.
The reason, before we get into what they're doing, they were just good people. Mm. And you do that when you meet good people. When you meet good people, you just do that with good people. You don't have to know much about them. When you meet good people, you know this is good people.
You just connect them.
Yeah, yes, this is good people. He needs to be around us more. Mm. He needs to see what we do. You know, he's good people. Yeah. You don't let it, from my experience in life, I don't let everybody that close to me.
Yeah.
But then you feel good people. You know, you're good people.
I'm sure it's a lot, Mike. You meet so many people, and I haven't met as many people as you. So it's a lot you probably don't remember. But you would take me out with you. We went out, right, in Scottsdale and stuff like that. And not just that, but, like, the stuff that you would do at the gym, like, you would pay for people's quinceañeras for their kids. And, like, you did so much good stuff for people. My introduction to boxing was you. That was my era. But my dad did give me all the Muhammad Ali tapes. So it was you and Ali, right? But as for growing up watching, it was you. So you was my guy. We all from Brooklyn, like the whole nine, right? So I grew up like Mike Tyson is it. That's it. And not just the boxing side. Like, you're a cultural icon. Whether you see it or not, you are. You clearly are, right? So when we actually met you, I was like, wow.
And I'm gonna tell you, the first time you guys met
in Phoenix, and this is my first time seeing Mike. I'm sure you don't remember. You pull up sitting in the back of a Rolls Royce. You had a driver, and y'all was bumping Wu-Tang loud. I was like, that's so fucking dope. That's, you know what I mean, like a black king. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Bumping Wu-Tang, shorts, casual, the back of a Rolls Royce,
ready for the gym.
Mike used to roll up in 5 or 6. Black SUVs. And he had an entourage. They didn't like me because they didn't know who I was.
I think they didn't like you? Because you real. Because I was telling Ev one time, I'm watching you train, and you just wasn't into it this particular day. And this is when you had, what's the guy? He used to train Holyfield, too.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Brooks.
So you was like half-ass hitting mitts. And you said, all right, I'm done. And then everybody was like, good job, champ. And I was appalled I was like, it's not a good job. Like, why are they saying this? I was too young to say anything. I was like, what the? Yeah. You know what I mean? But my dad, y'all connection was real, you know? But I felt like you had people around you that just wanted to be around.
Well, I wouldn't blame you. I can't blame you. I would want to be around me, too.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. I value, like, I don't want to be around somebody just to be around. Like, if I care, I got to say, we got to say something. Like, they was letting you not train. You know what I'm saying? And applauding you.
That's great.
And I hated that.
I remember one time I came down to the gym. Mike said, man, you got your car with you? I said, yeah. He said, let's get out of here. I said, you know what?
Did we go somewhere?
Yeah. It was a daytime party. In Arizona, they got a thing they call it once a month. Everybody go to one bar.
What's the name of the bar?
Oh, man. I forget. The Amvets, I think.
What's the name of that black bar in the hood?
Yeah, that's the Legion.
Legion, yeah.
Everybody used to be the Legion.
So I took him there. He said, what is this, man? It's in the daytime. Why are all these people in here? And all of a sudden they said, hey, Mike Tyson's in the house. Mike said, Manny, I don't want to do no signatures and all that. I said, okay. I said, I'll handle it. I said, matter of fact, my stakes are raised. you want to meet Mike? I talked to him about it. We had a good time. We got back. Your camp was mad at me. Where did you take him? I said, man, talk to Mike. He your boss, man.
Yeah, I'm the boss.
Yeah.
I'm the boss.
Yeah.
I like being the boss.
Right.
Oh, that's
then
crazy.
You flew me out to Vegas to see your first show.
Who?
I did.
Yeah.
You remember the we ran into
101.
Each other at LA Fit Expo some years back when you was first doing the one man show.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I bought Pops out.
And we saw the show, and they said, you meet and greet? I said, they said, it's about $600. I said, no, just tell Mike Manny was here. They went back and told you. They said, man, send him back here.
Yeah.
Me and him came back there. He was back there kicking it. We kicked it for a while. He said, man, every time I see this dude, man, he got some fine chicks.
You know, my man Mike, right? your friend is here. So Mike always had the nice girls with him and stuff.
Yeah.
Always had it built with him and shit.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
What do you call those guys? What are those warriors and shit? The Zulu warrior, man.
Yeah.
Like big buck with a white woman on his arm.
I believe it, dude.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So, this is what I want to say to her.
Yeah.
What's been going on in your life, man? Every time
man.
I see him, it's always positive. He always look good. He always has to be focused. He's always serious.
Nice. Man, I went through, you know, a lot of growth. You know, I stopped boxing early 2000s. And I just, you know, boxing is a hard sport. Mm-hmm. The training. And as soon as I found something that I thought, like, I could make a living, I said, all right, I'm good, right? I don't need to box no more. So I did that. And along that route, you know, just growing up, making stupid decisions. And, you know, I went through a lot. Like, I ended up, you know, I got back in the streets. I was, you know, doing my thing. And then I caught a case, a big case.
Get killed or nothing, right?
No.
I mean, you know, nah, it's, you know, it was a self-defense situation. And, I became a fugitive. I went on a run. And I didn't want to be separated from my children because they was coming hard. Like, Arizona don't – it's like no reason. There's no logic behind how they – so, you know, I was like, fuck it. I'm not going to jail. So I just left. And I wasn't running. I was in hiding in plain sight, right? I was just in California, next state over. And I went through a lot, and I completely rebuilt my life. Even when I was in the streets, I was growing out of that. So I was like – you know, I would think about my grandparents and how embarrassed I was if they can see me right now. So I was evolving at that time. And when I left, I wasn't in communication with anybody that I knew. Barely would, like, send messages to my dad. And I had to, I don't know if you remember this, Pop, but I've always been really self-sufficient and resourceful. You know, I've been in other countries by myself and just figured it out. So this one time, I was running out of money because I'm a fugitive, and I hadn't eaten for like 2 days, like, and I was like homeless. Like, I didn't tell my dad a lot of this stuff, and a couple days, like, I'm rough it out. I know I got something coming on Friday, whatever, And I was like, the only way I'm going to eat is I'm going to go steal. And that's raising my possibility of getting arrested. And it ain't going to just be for theft. They're going to know who I am and take me back. And you know what I mean? So I broke down and called my dad because I never did that. So it was so, like, as I'm talking to him, like, I couldn't even say it without, like, my voice just cracked. And I didn't even finish it. He says, how much you need? Where you at? And you sent me $300. And that $300 was everything to me. You know what I mean? And, you know, like, I had a few months before that, I had the big house, all the cars, jewelry, everything.
Scottsdale.
It was all gone, stripped, right? I had cars, like, everything's gone. From that to being in the streets, like, homeless is a huge contrast. It's not like I was some bummy cat and just, that's just my existence.
Nah, listen, brother, the distance from the limo and the gut is just one step.
One step.
Yeah.
That's true.
One step.
Yeah, I can attest to it. I was there like that. So, but my dad, he gave me that. My dad, like, I felt so much love from him. And my dad is the reason why I'm such a survivor. Like, my dad, he gave me all the tools. So, and then my son, like, I figured out I can get a job, right? Because I didn't know if I could do anything, if my ID would be in the system. I didn't know nothing. So I took a chance and applied for a job and got a job. I'm like, okay. So I saved up enough money to move in with somebody that's looking for a roommate. I'm like, okay. Save up enough money to get my own place with a roommate and still didn't have a car, have nothing. And my I was angry, Mike. I was so mad because I was a boss in the street and it was people under me that was happy that they thought I was done, happy, laughing, talking, and I'm hearing it. And I was so angry, I wanted to go back and just show up on people's doorsteps and, hey, what's up? I know that, you know, just do bad things to people. And my son's mother, shout out to Vanessa, she sent my son out to stay with me for a little while. And I don't know why, because my life was a mess. It really didn't, and she's a smart girl. So that kid loved me so much, it made me love myself, because I was like, how is this little pure soul, why does he love me? I have nothing to offer, you know what I mean? And that right there, it just lit something in me, you know, a upward trajectory to not succumb to the conditions that I put myself in, right? So I fixed everything. I controlled my life. And that's what I believe. I'm the architect of everything that happens to me. And that's what I live that. So just start working more, saving money, started a business. You know, everything was doing great. And here it is. I got this great life. But guess what? I'm still a fugitive. 6-7 years pass. I'm like, hey, maybe I don't care. Because social media, like, I didn't intend for me to get big on social media. I was trying to avoid it, but it just happened. And they just gravitated towards me. And one day in 2013, 2014, I was actually sparring. And I come outside. Me and my boy Chai was sparring. Come outside, taking a break to walk my dog. I seen a dude walked in the gym, and my gym, like, there's only certain people come in that gym.
I know, you know everybody that's coming in
there. Yeah, so this dude, it was a black dude.
Didn't look right.
The only black dude that came in the gym.
I know that feeling. Who is that nigga?
Only black dude.
I know that feeling. Excuse me, guys, but I know that feeling.
Nah, it's real. So it's like, you either a gangbanger or powerlifter.
You know it's not good when you see him, right?
Like, he was just a regular dude, and I speak to everybody, like, what's up, how you doing? He was like, nervous. I'm like, that was weird. And then the next thing I know, sheriff's car, unmarked, sheriff's, unmarked, sheriff's. They came. And it's U.S. Marshals. And they come hard. But they came to me. They was like gentlemen, you know. And they said, yeah, we've been following you for a while and know who you are. They're like, who are you? I was like, you tell me. You know what I'm saying? You tell me. What do you know? But, you know, he said, I remember this guy. He said, look, man. You do a lot of good for a lot of people. Just get this behind you. Move on with your life. You know, he took me down to the substation. He came in. He gave me a pen and paper. He says, here's your phone. You need some numbers? I'm like, yes, please. He said, anything you'd like me to do? I said, can you call my father? And he did, right?
Mm-hmm.
He called my dad, told him what was up. And I just had to deal with it, you know? I had to sit in California for a while before they extradited me. I went through that whole process and got out, got to Arizona, bonded out, got an amazing attorney. Shout out to Brian Russo. I love him to death. I love Brian Russo.
He was
expensive, and I want to pay him extra. You know what I'm saying?
I know those. I felt that way too before.
Yeah. So fought it and beat it, you know? And life is good. It couldn't be better. It couldn't be better, man.
God is great.
Yeah,
it
man.
Is. Yeah. God is good.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, Manny, you boxing is part of your life.
I grew up, I used to box a little bit, PALs in Brooklyn. You know, Bed-Stuy, Gates Avenue.
Howard.
Yeah. But I never went pro, but I loved the sport. And I made sure my son, I introduced him to the sport just so he'll have confidence in himself and he could take care of himself. Because the difference between a kid who can't box and a kid can is a big difference. But I taught him to respect that sport. You can't be a bully. Yeah. It's like a loaded gun. You can't play with it. Somebody come at you, you could even walk away. You're in control. Somebody step too close, take care of them. I used to get phone calls. He's about 14. I get a phone call from a police officer. We have your son down here. I said, oh, what's going on? He said, well, he was on a bus, and he knocked a man out. He said the man approached him sexually. I said, oh, okay, cool, man. So I went down
there. He's defending himself.
Yeah, I went down there, got him. And he just evolved. And to be honest with you, this young man had talent. He could have went a long way. But he started rapping.
Yeah.
And he got good at that. But I still said the boxing, he was a natural. And
that's a lonely lifestyle, though.
Yeah.
Really dedicated to it. It's pretty lonely.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. It was like, you know, I had my dad, but it was outside of that, it was no support system.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Being a black fighter in Arizona is no teams.
It's a hard hustle.
You know, yeah. So it was people don't understand, like when you got a support, like I look at Floyd, right? He got his entourage. That makes it easy.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it easy.
His whole family.
When you by yourself doing it, I used to show up to fights. My coach ain't even there. I'm by myself, literally by myself. And I'm like, this is not fun.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And the older I got, I just kind of rebelled against it. You know what I mean? The discipline.
Yeah,
because
it's structured. You know, anything that's structured, and as you get older, you're going to rebel.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to rebel. I'll submit to it totally.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting how that happens.
However, though, you know, it took me a few years. Like, when I stopped, I couldn't even watch boxing because I loved it so much. And I seen guys that I knew that I was better than, $1 million comp making money. I'm like, so I couldn't watch boxing. It took me a couple years.
All money's not good money, though.
Right. But when you're young, you're just like, man, when you know these guys.
Yeah.
But when I start back, you know, I love boxing with everything, right? So I got to a point to where I was like, I wanted to start, because I'm cool with so many fighters. I was like, maybe I'm going to start managing some guys, help them make some money. And I'm talking to one of my guys about it, and my son is listening. And I was like, man, I should just get back in and turn pro. And his eyes lit up, but I did. I did. I'm going to tell you why, Mike. I did because I said, well, I asked him. I said, you want me to fight? You want me to turn pro? He's like, yes, yes, yes. I said, okay. So I did because just to challenge myself. It wasn't like I was trying to make a career out of it, but just to get in fight shape, which is different. You know what I mean? It's hard. And I just wanted that on my thing before I die. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so and something for my kids to be proud of. So I did it last year, and it was hard as hell. You know what I mean? The training.
How do you control your emotions in that situation, right?
Yeah. It was hard.
I mean, that's one of the hardest things in life, controlling your emotions.
It is.
Mike, we got a big fight coming up here, brother.
Boxing's interesting, right? You start believing your God, kindly, in this kind of situation. Because, you know why? Everybody tells you it. That's why I stay in the house all the time. I hate people to tell me all this shit about me. I'm great. I'm God. I'm this. And they don't know I stay home because I don't want to hear nobody say something about me.
It's crazy, Mike.
But no, but listen, I think I love it, though. I think in my mind I love it.
Right.
Until I see it. Uh-huh. On my mind, I want to be a glass. I want people to buy it. And then when it happens, oh, no, I don't want this shit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want, no, I'm sorry. Please, I don't want this shit. I'm sorry, God. Please.
Because it's everything that comes with that, right? People expect things from you. People demand things from you.
I don't know. Imagine God not thinking himself that serious, and he's here, everybody's praying, he feels all this energy. Oh, man, please stop fucking praying. Leave me alone. All right?
I already gave you everything.
Yeah. And you still fucked up.
Yeah.
The more I give you, the more you disapprove of my giving you it.
Yeah.
You know?
Talking about God-given skills, Damian Lillard.
Woo.
The dude's unbelievable. The Trailblazers are taking on the Pelicans and the Pistons next. I mean, this guy is having a record year.
When God put the light on you, so does the devil.
Mm, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
God, he aware, he makes the devil aware of what's going on.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's a cool guy. So if God put his hand on you, so did the devil.
Yeah. If you were going to bet on a fight between God and the devil, you could do that at Bet Online.
Yeah, really?
Yes,
awesome.
You can. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One, Bet Online, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code Podcast One for your 50% sign up bonus.
Yes. And once again, visit betonline.ag and don't forget the promo code too. All right. Podcast One for your 50% sign up bonus. Bet Online for your online sports book expert.
Mike, what's the most impactful therapy you've ever experienced?
May I tell you one of my experience with a therapist?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to a therapist. I'm getting ready. I spilled my guts to this gentleman. And then he said this. Time. It's over. The session's over. And boy, did I rip him a new asshole.
Yeah. I bet.
Oh, shit. Whoa. They almost called the cops on me, man. They had to escort me.
Well, Mike, the thing is, therapy sounds great, but a lot of people don't have the time or the money to do it.
That's why you should start your journey with the help from Talkspace.
Talkspace Online Therapy is the most affordable and convenient way to get the support of a licensed therapist.
Yes, of course. And you can also talk privately with your therapist on your phone or your computer, and you never need to go anywhere. You can stay in your office and stuff. You know what I mean? You don't have to make no appointments and stuff.
That's awesome. They have over 5,000 therapists trained in over 40 specialties. Learn stress management, communication skills, behavior hacks, and useful tips to help achieve your goals.
Exactly, really. Because real change happens when taking it one step at a time, you know. Talkspace is there to help every person every way they can.
That's right. Match with your perfect therapist today at Talkspace.com or download the mobile app.
Absolutely. Our awesome listeners can use the code HOTBOXING for $100 off the first month.
That's Talkspace.com, promo code HOTBOXING for $100 off your first month.
Awesome.
Mike, would you say you felt very lonely in your boxing career?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's why I always, after I finished running, I would go to some girl's house.
Right.
Like at 4 in the morning, I get up running, I come, I call her, I'm coming over.
You like find people to get around
you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes sense.
But people would think I was breaking training because I was going over girls' houses and hitting them. I was, but I was lonely. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just over there to talk to someone because after I finished running, it's what, 5 o'clock in the morning, now I can't sleep and I'm up. I want to talk to somebody. The only thing I got to do is exercise sips. I said, why not do it over the girls' house? I could do the same thing, but I have some comfort. I could do my exercise working out, but I could still hug her or something, kiss her when I'm near.
Yeah.
You used to like get up and walk like 10 miles too, right?
Yeah. I used to run 5, then I used to have to finish running. I walked 10 miles.
I remember one day you called me up. You said, Manny. I said, yo. He said, I'm at so-and-so on Van Buren. I said, okay. He says, and I'm going to the south side. Why don't you come walk with me? I said, man, you crazy. I said, it's 120 degrees out there. I said, I'll meet you over there. And I met you. Used to walk at fast speed.
I used to read about I read about these great gladiators from ancient time, these Greeks and Mennonites and all that stuff, how they walked 20 miles and how they invented the marathon by running 26 miles to relay a message. So I said, I want to do that. Let me just walk 26 miles today.
And you did it,
too. Walk 20 miles today. Just do it. Just
I love
part
that.
Part of psychology. But my feet felt like they took a fucking blowtorch and
It was hot in there.
You were getting in shape like that, though.
Yeah, I was extreme about being in shape. I was extremist about everything.
Mm-hmm. I really vibe with that.
It's funny when before I quit fighting, I was like, I'm gonna go hard with this. We was around you, and I'm getting tatted up. My dad like, why are you doing that? I'm like, don't worry about it. And to me, it was like war markings, right?
Yeah.
Definitely. And I almost got your face tat because I was so. I didn't.
You know how many people got this tattoo on their face after their fucking mind? I'm saying fuck.
I got talked out of it.
I mean, I don't know how I ran into you or talked to you or something, and you sent me your gloves with that tattoo on it, and a lot of other little stuff. I gave my son one of the gloves. I kept one of them.
Yeah. Well, the best part is what Mike was going to get tattooed on his face.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
From hearts and shit. High and shining from hearts.
Dude. Did it have a meaning?
Heart?
Yeah.
No, it's talking shit.
But you know that tattoo is like a landmark.
Yeah.
You set it out there. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a Maori warrior symbol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
So, man, tell us more about your business and your partner.
Yeah.
Tell
me about that. I want to know. How, well, I guess you were around training your whole life, basically. Mm-hmm. And what was sort of the first step you took? Because you're really, man, I mean, you know, I hate to use this term just because you're way more than this, but you're a fitness guru, you know. Everything you do with training and nutrition and mindset around how people should approach training. And you've got a massive following there. And you've built an incredible business. I was talking to Sean earlier about the products you guys sent me home with. It's my favorite protein powder I've ever tried.
Nice. Really? Perfect.
What's it made with?
Plants.
It's plant-based.
Yeah. We got to get some for here. Mike, you would love it. It's plant-based.
Are you still vegan?
I'm all plant-based.
Okay.
He's all plant-based. It's awesome products. But what was the first step? Like, how did you fucking even figure out that you could use social media to promote this way of life and this message?
Well, initially, I wasn't trying to. Social media was starting. I'm like, all right. I used it to, like, track my clients' progress.
Mm.
Instead of, you know, just having a before and after picture, I would have a video of when Jennifer couldn't do a pull-up.
Mm.
And now she's doing 10. You know what I mean? I thought that was more compelling than a before and after picture.
Yeah, for sure.
So that was getting me more business, more clients, right? So every now and then, I would throw myself up there working out, right? And people really liked it, you know? And I think it was just the type of content was attracting people to follow it and share it and subscribe to what I was talking about. So then I started doing more long-form videos on YouTube and of my strategies and my training. My training always stood out because when I stopped fighting and I was just lifting weights to me was just too easy. It wasn't like when you boxing training, you leave it all on the floor. Well, weightlifting, I didn't feel that. So I just made it more intense, right?
Mm.
So, and people, they thought it was cool. They liked it. So it just grew. It grew and people just started liking me as a personality or whatever. And I wasn't really trying for that. I was just...
But you're a nice person, though, man.
Yeah,
you're a nice person. You're easy to like.
I like that.
Yeah, no doubt, bro.
So the following started growing, and then you have... but I was still training people, and I was getting to the point to where I was getting burnt out. Like I have...
Burnt out training people?
Yeah, like all day, every day. And people will come in halfway through the day, and I'm like mad because I'm tired. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I need to do something.
Yeah.
So I didn't take supplements before, but then I started taking like fat burners or just for energy. And I liked the energy, but I didn't like everything else. I would feel nauseous or have anxiety.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I started taking pictures of the ingredients. Cause I don't have a science background or any of that. So I would take that, and after work, I would research I would go look up each ingredient and see what it was and try to figure out what did I like in these products and what I didn't like. Okay, once I identified that, I started ordering the stuff that I wanted to test on myself that I like. So I kind of like started making my own little formulas, you know, like my kitchen at the time. Anybody knew me around that time, my kitchen looked like a laboratory. You know what I mean? I'm ordering all these powders and I have milligram scales and gram scales and I'm just making my own concoctions. And then when your social media grows, I'm sure you like, because your mic, you got a lot of people coming at you with pitches like, hey, you want to partner with this or do that?
Well, I never see it. I guess
somebody said, yeah. So people start reaching out to me like, hey, you ever thought about this and that? And then I had a guy who had experience in manufacturing supplements reach out to me like, hey, you ever think about doing this? I said, actually, I'm kind of doing it, but just for myself. And we started talking about the formula, what I'm doing, how. He's like, okay, you want to do that for real? I'm like, whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
So I didn't think nothing of it, so we came up with the formula that I came up with and made a pre-workout, and this shit worked out, you know?
So the pre-workout was the first supplement?
That was the first thing, yeah. And then I kept adding more and more and more, and then that became a real company, you know? And it grew, it peaked, because my partner, like, he was content and I wasn't, you know, but also I wasn't like over, you know, I had that company for a few years. I sold it last year. I wasn't really into those kind of products anymore. And this is when I had already stopped eating meat and I was eating one meal a day and I was trying to take my health a lot more serious. So
I'm on that level now where I'm going to the one meal a day thing.
Yeah, right. Talk to Mike about it.
One meal a day for
I took a shake. Normally I took a good fruit shake with some berries shake and some agave. And boom, that'd be it for me.
Right. Yeah,
I've
right.
been doing that for 15 years.
I've been doing it forever.
At least.
The Prophet Muhammad only ate once a day.
That's all I do.
Yeah.
Your digestive system is getting less work opposed to three times a day. Which system will last longer?
No doubt.
Could you have the leaky stomach syndrome? You get that. You still leaking.
It's a lot of issues.
I juice in the mornings. Excuse me. I juice in the mornings.
What do you juice, Manny?
Different fruits.
Okay.
Plus, every morning, I have a teaspoon of garlic and honey. You let it sit.
I go right to the head with the honey.
You go all the way? Yeah. And then I take
apple cider vinegar. Yeah.
Then I do. I do a tablespoon of olive oil and vinegar.
Yeah, it's cutting you out.
Then some days when I juice, you don't do this everywhere. I juice beets, apples for the taste. That's natural sugar. Beets, apples, and some celery. Which tastes nasty if you drink it by itself. And that'll flush you out, too.
I dig it, man.
See, I love, listen, right, at this stage of my life, like when I was in my 20s and teens and stuff, even in my 30s, I always wanted to hump. But when you get in, like, your 40s and your 50s, you like to dump. You know? Fuck the hump. It's about to dump. You have a good dump. You be on the toilet. Got to be more careful. And then I go tell my baby, I had an awesome shit, baby. This came out, I feel like 20 pounds lighter.
I thought I was sick doing that. And I'm saying like,
yeah, this is going to feel good.
I told my wife, she said, what are you doing in there?
Gut it out.
That was solid.
There's nothing in there. And you don't know that.
That's
you're
how you want it.
Until you start drinking water and you feel yourself swelling.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you want it, man.
Yeah.
You gotta shit.
Yeah.
If you don't shit, fuck. But you know, if you don't fuck, shit. But if you don't shit, fuck.
Yeah. So true.
That's a t-shirt slogan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, Mike, so you're on the one meal a day as well.
Right.
Which I think for a lot of athletes might think that's crazy. You know, and keep all the muscle mass that you hold on to.
Listen, you know? This is not crazy because listen, the greatest gladiators that ever lived, they looked at their marrow and their bone, they were all vegetarians and vegans. And that violent sport, that vicious violent sport, these are vegan competitors.
See, I got a notion about the one meal a day, right? And this is what I tell people. They think it's so crazy. I'm like, look, if you're not doing it, you can't speak on it if you haven't experienced it. But this is how I see it. We live in a world where there's an abundance of food, right? This is new. I mean, our species has been around for about 100,000 years. We've been kind of civilized for around 10,000 years.
No. We've been around, the oldest human being is 4.4 million years old.
But I mean, our genus of Homo sapiens.
Homo erectus and sapiens.
Yeah. It's a lot of humans. It's funny because Sean and I and my son, we've reading a book, Sapiens, right now.
Oh, yeah.
So it goes into that, all the different human evolution. But us, Homo sapiens, we're the youngest ones. We're new, right? But most of that, a lot of that, you know, like animals, you know? And then even being civilized, 10,000 years ago, it wasn't a lot of food. Like, there's no convenience stores. There's no.
Yeah.
So we would go days without eating. And then when you're hungry, you go hunt. You go find food on an empty stomach, right? So here it is. We don't have to do that. Food is all around us. And, like, it's a reason why there's a quote-unquote hungry mind state.
Yeah.
That's literal and figurative.
I know.
You go get it when you're hungry.
Absolutely.
You don't get it. There's no full mind state.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, when I eat, I want to relax. I want to kick my feet up. You know, so to me, it's
recovery,
like,
time.
I want to go out, conquer my day, train, do all the things I got to do. Around 5 or 6, I eat, and I relax. My day's done, you know? So, because I know me, I don't operate well with a lot of food in my system.
You're not supposed to. It's the fact your body's working, and it can't work when you're congested.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why you have less food. You always... For instance, when I don't have no food, I'm always ready.
Yeah,
I got energy.
Me too.
There's no food. There's no fuel, but it's energy.
Yeah.
Because energy and fuel is psychological.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike, did you eat on days that you fought?
The days that I fought, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. I couldn't eat. I could never eat.
See, and that's the thing. You can't let your emotions and your feelings control you.
Mm-hmm.
You eat. Mm-hmm. You know, you say, I can't eat my body. No, you control your body. Your body's purpose only... carry your brain.
It's to serve you.
Right. That's
your body, right. your body can't tell you what to do.
Right. The brain is the top thing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
I get that though, man. I think I've heard you say that many times, Mike, about the hungry mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not hungry when you're full of food.
Yeah.
You know?
So there's no sense of urgency to go out and do anything.
Absolutely.
And you're more vulnerable because you're not as agile.
Right.
You're more alert from the
and plus, from
the enemies.
Yeah.
Plus people are conditioned to eat out of memory.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, look what time it is.
Yeah, I gotta eat.
Yeah. They ain't hungry or nothing.
It's
just
habit.
It's not a good habit.
Matter of fact, it's the FDA, right?
Yeah.
Food is a drug. It's a narcotic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People get addicted to food and their life is over.
Exactly.
They're imprisoned in their body.
Exactly. Mm. You should eat 3 times a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get your 3 square meals.
Yeah.
I know a guy only eats after he shits. If he won't eat unless he shits.
You got to get it out.
Yeah, you got to get shit.
Make room.
Yeah, he won't do it.
That's
who
crazy.
Is that?
Someone that worked for me, he said he can't. Say, I gotta eat. I gotta shit first before I can eat again.
I love it.
He won't eat food on top of food. If he had one meal, he won't eat another.
It makes sense. I tell people all the time, it's like food is literally fuel for your body.
I always say, food is the enemy.
And so much
modern food is the enemy.
You're right.
Chicken, beef,
right.
Pork, all that stuff.
All in preservatives.
Sometimes certain rice is preservatives. All that syrup and all that stuff. That's the enemy.
Yeah.
Candy bars are, and why do you think candy bars are named with masculine names and look like people's dicks? You know, it's psychology. All this is psychology. The Dream Musketeer, payday. That dick, yeah, fucking, that's payday, baby.
Snickers?
Huh?
Snickers?
Laughing at you.
Reese's?
Huh?
Reese's?
Just so sweet. No, but really,
totally.
It's promoted that way.
The
candy bars.
They hire people. Oh,
absolutely.
To think.
Subliminal.
Yeah, all of that is important.
Listen, I don't eat meat, right? I'm riding somewhere, I don't know, maybe is it L.A. or is it Vegas? And I'm seeing it's just a fried chicken barrel. I don't eat no chicken, but that looked good. If I did, I said, where's that place at?
Right.
I don't eat meat, but it says struck my attention. It got my attention. And I said, it looks good. My mind said, but I don't eat that shit. Imagine if I did, I would go right there because it pulled me.
I'm going to give you another example. I have a friend. Shout out to Gary.
Gary!
He was an optometrist, and he used to do the eyeglasses and stuff. He told me the owner of that place had a special rug design. When you go in and sit down, you look at the rug, your eyes will like you need glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Just go there and look at that rug, he says.
That's a nice tactic. Says,
yeah.
Wow.
I said, seriously. He said, yeah.
That's deep.
The art of persuasion's a motherfucker.
For it is.
A guy like me, right? If I want to persuade somebody's family in here and their mother's not in the house, I put a pack. Let's go to the movie. So I get a pack of popcorn. I put it in the fucking heater. Poof, beep, microwave. Take the bag, throw it outside, open the thing. The parents come in. Well, what's that? Hey, Mom, let's go to the movie. Sure, let's do that. Cool. Look at popcorn. It's all about persuasion.
It's all about
psychological persuasion. Yeah. Saying a word that brings them to the moment of better times, you know?
What do you think about, Mike, like, we know that. You're conscious of that, right? And I feel like there's a small percentage of people that are conscious of these tactics and aware of them. And we may even use them. And most people aren't. You know, they just don't see it. They don't get it. You know, is there something to that? Do you think that I've been having conversations about this recently over the past few days, like the evolution of man. Like we kind of talked about it on our podcast, my podcast, and I feel like I don't think that people are getting dumber or smarter. I think it's always been the way that it is. A small percentage of people that kind of get it. A large percentage of people that get it.
I disagree with you because there's more information now.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's fake information, there's more information. So we're under the notion that we know more than somebody 10,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then probably we don't know.
They live longer than us.
What about the notion of, like, let's say the scientists or whomever before us said they got to this point for us to start here and get to that point? You know what I mean? And then whoever's after us will build on top of that.
Listen, we're going to evolve regardless. Who did it, what did it, how it's been done. We're going to evolve. We're going to evolve to self-destruction. You know what I mean? But the world's going to still flourish.
I agree with that. I don't think, people say that we're destroying the earth. I don't think we can. I think we can destroy ourselves.
No, we can't destroy the earth.
Yeah.
How you going to destroy the earth? We can't even conceive of the earth.
Right. We don't even fully understand it.
For what people told us it is.
Yeah.
We know nothing about it. For its, you know what I mean? From its simplicity, we know nothing about this place. We know nothing about what. Who are you? Who's your father? Who are we?
Mm-hmm.
You think he's just your father? Him and his woman just had you, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
They're vessels, you know.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I just think we gonna figure it out when it's over.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know.
Yeah. Like thinking about it, though. It's fascinating.
Awesome. It's awesome fascinating. Think how great death is going to be. If life was this great, just think about death, how good death's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it from that perspective.
So you think it's another stage of consciousness?
Absolutely.
It's not just nothing, just darkness?
I think it is, too.
Listen, I think it has to be, because every time I go to sleep, I die, because there's nothing. If I wake up, I wouldn't know if I was dead or not if I didn't wake up. When I'm sleeping, it's just a bliss. It's nothing. I don't see nothing. I don't hear nothing. And all of a sudden, I just wake up. So that's the closest thing I've been to death. Death is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Death is fun. It's easy. I'm having a ball sleeping. I feel great
until
I wake up.
I don't fear death. What I fear about death is the fact that I have relationships with people that I love, and I won't anymore, as far as I know.
Really?
Yeah.
But we don't really know that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
we don't know that.
In my mind, when lights is out, is a wrap.
I don't think it's over.
Listen, look at this, your fears. Your fears that you won't be important no more, you won't exist no more, that you can't hear your name mentioned in your brain no more. It's your ego torturing you right now.
Mm.
Telling you you're somebody and you're not going to exist no longer, so what are we going to do to prevent that?
Mm.
Listen, you've been divinely guided ever since. You didn't do this. You think you're smart enough to put yourself in the suit? That's your ego telling you all. God's been guiding you. Just let him take. When it's time to go, let him take you then too. He's been doing it all this time. Just let it go. Stop trying to think it out. You'll never know. Stop. Right. Leave it alone, nigga.
That's true. All right.
Just take you. Let him take you.
That's deep, Mike.
Absolutely.
I like that.
Mike's so philosophical.
Yeah, life is philosophical because we don't know anything, but we want to desperately know. But we want everybody else to know, think that we know something, but the fact is, how can we tell them that we don't know anything?
Well, and we try to control everything, and we don't have to.
We have no control.
Exactly.
That's a figment of our imagination.
Exactly.
We can't even control ourselves.
Exactly. We let it flow. And that's where we'll go.
I think we can control ourselves to an extent.
To an extent.
Well,
totally, no. You can't stop yourself from taking a shit.
I don't want to stop.
You just can't stop. Yeah. You just can't stop soon.
Yeah. No doubt.
Mike, isn't CBD such an amazing compound? It's amazing that we have access to this medicine now. I mean, athletes like you and me, we beat the hell out of our bodies.
I agree.
We suffered a lot of injuries. I had a shoulder injury. Every joint in my body hurts, but thanks to CBD, you know, I can live a life of high quality.
I agree 100%. You know, I'm just such a fan of CBD. I think within 100 years, it'll be in our DNA.
I think you're right.
You know, I think CBD, it's just amazing. It's a wonder miracle. I won't say a drug, but it's a medicine.
Yep. It's awesome. Enter Omax Health. If you're looking to get rid of nagging muscle and joint pain immediately while providing long-lasting recovery, then you need to try the natural breakthrough pain relief solution, CryoFreeze CBD Roll-On, developed by Omax Health.
Yeah, Omax Health is offering my listeners 20% off of the full bottle of the CryoFreeze CBD Pain Relief Roll-On, plus free shipping.
I've been using it after my workouts, and I gotta say, it's taken all the aches and pains away. You know, I like to lift weights still, Mike, and, you know, that can be tough on my joints, but I use this CryoFreeze CBD Pain Relief Roll-On. And, man, I got to tell you, it takes the pain right away.
Man, listen, man, I believe in the weightlifting, too. I believe weightlifting leads to longer life.
Yeah.
You know, and I used to say, man, listen, I used to go to the omaxhealth.com today and enter the code Tyson, and it's heaven.
That's awesome. This discount also applies toward any product site-wide, and Omax Health carries great supplements, fish oil, probiotics, cognitive boosters, everything you need. So head over to omaxhealth.com, that's omaxhealth.com, and enter code Tyson to get 20% off CryoFreeze and everything else on their site.
Just go to omaxhealth.com today and enter code Tyson. Is that fucking Dennis Rodman right there?
Yeah, he's here. D-Rod,
too. I'm looking at that Dennis Rodman right there.
Yes, it is. Just another day at Tyson Ranch, y'all.
Shit, nigga.
Dennis is cool. We had him on the pod.
That's dope. Yeah.
Well, man, I'm so glad that
I was able
to help get you guys back together.
You ain't tell me what you and this nigga right here do.
Pop, let Sean come in real quick.
Come on, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. Come on. Talk about the comp. Ambrosia Collective.
Jeans with holes in them and shit, and boots look like a Nazi nigga.
Dude, stop. Looking like a Nazi.
Shit, man.
No.
Is that your sex appeal, those pants or something?
Definitely.
Don't go to jail like that.
Oh, fuck.
You on your head, Sean. But nah, the Ambrosia Collective. All right, so I had already had a company. Sean had his company. We have another party.
What was the company?
My previous company, it was just a typical supplement company.
Okay.
You know, so making plenty of money. He making plenty of money. We was all making plenty of money, and we were just talking about, like, what if we came up with, because we were all evolving and growing, you know, and wanting to be healthy. So, and things in a supplement business is not always super healthy. It's not always that good for you.
There's a lot of bullshit.
Right.
This is a guy who's taking a lot of supplements.
Y'all need to get Mike Tyson strand of pills out there, man. We need some vitamins for Mike Tyson vitamins, y'all.
Let's
do it. Mike Tyson vitamins, y'all.
That's easy.
We love that.
We could put that together.
Right. So we talked about, look, all right, we making money.
Mike, I
so
love
let's,
that.
Let's start another company, and let's make the absolute best products that we can make that's actually healthy for people, right?
It's good stuff.
Let's source the highest quality ingredients, right? And let's make it affordable. We're not really tripping on making money on this. I mean, we don't want to lose money, but we're not trying to get rich off of this. Let's just do it just because we can. Right?
Let's give it to the poor people then.
Because we can. So we did. We did that. And it started doing so well. Like, I sold my other company. We all just went all in. And now it's just growing like leaps and bounds. We tour all over the world. It's worldwide, and we market it by educating people on what kind of products, the ingredients. And when you don't know, you don't know. But once somebody brings this to your attention, you're like, okay, I need this. You know what I mean? So, and not just that, things that are really good for you usually taste like shit.
Absolutely.
And that's okay. But I'm all right with that.
Me too.
But
this thing, you get adapted to it. I tell you, right. I take my apple cider vinegar to the head. Boom, boom,
right.
boom.
Right, because you know how good it is for you.
It burns my guts.
Yeah.
But for example, we found a way to take apple cider vinegar, dehydrate while maintaining its integrity, and deliver it in a capsule so you don't have to have it be on your teeth and erode the enamel on your teeth.
Well, I don't care about my teeth, but the fact is...
I care about your teeth.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Everyone loves when you smile and when you crack jokes and laugh, so that's one of the best parts of the podcast.
Now I'm going to buy new teeth and whiten them up.
There you go. Solution.
But we're serious about making the world healthier in every which way, and that's what we've been focused on. We deliver products that help with that, but we also provide the motivation and the programs, both workout-wise and nutrition-wise.
We need to go in business in some kind of food product.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Healthier. And
do it, man.
We'll talk about that. Yeah, we'll talk about that because we actually have ideas for that.
Beyond meat and all that stuff.
I'm listen, making Mike, deals,
we,
baby.
We got. Listen, Mike, you have no idea. The portfolio is vast. There's nothing that we can't do.
Yeah.
At the highest
a great
level.
Shop.
I think
it's close to you.
Together in some kind of way, and we should do some fucking health food that keeps your dick hard, keeps you vibrant.
I love all that.
The thing is, like you saw, you watched the Game Changers movie. I know you did because you were referring to some of the stuff about it. When you eat healthy and when you run your body and fuel your body right, your dick is hard. You wake up hard, and you go to bed hard, and you operate at a higher level.
Dick stays hard.
Exactly.
All night long.
Good things. I love that. Mike, they hooked me up. I went down and I was on their podcast. It was awesome. They're down nearby you, man. So you should go in there.
Newport Beach.
Yeah, you should go in and check it out.
Now, once I'm home. We don't leave the house.
Yeah,
I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that at all. Mike. I guess I'm in a place where I am very, even when I'm speaking to people about health and nutrition, I'm like, look, guys. I can get hit by a car tomorrow, you know what I mean, and be done. So it's not, you know, you live life, but I appreciate what I have right now. Well, I don't have tomorrow. Well, I don't have yesterday. I have right now.
Because your feelings are enslaved by your emotions.
But I'm all right with it right now. When I grow out of it, if that's an evolution that's to come, I'm here. I'm with it. I'm open.
Fuck, what was I doing? That fucking illusion. That's not even real.
You know, all of those things, though, as we perceive them, in many ways, are just as real as the Earth revolving around the sun, the stars, the galaxy, the universe, because, sure, these things don't happen anywhere else. Nowhere else in the universe. That we've discovered, that we can see. Do these dramas play out? You know? This is all spirit. We're all the same things.
Absolutely.
If you believe in the Big Bang, we are literally particles of stardust that made its way into a human form that are now expressing the fucking all the energy of the Big Bang through human consciousness.
We're made out of all the minerals in the planet. We're made out of oil, diamond, platinum.
Exactly.
Copper. And That's all we are. That's why another planet, they're made of the same shit too.
So there's an energy. There's a gravitational force. There is a network of flow between all of these things, the stars, the planets, the sun, all of that. Why would you think that that's separate from us, too?
I don't.
No, I know. Yeah. I know.
It's all.
But it's all.
See, I even embrace it, Eb, like, this is all natural.
Yeah.
This is all from the earth. It's not some mysterious
thing.
And we.
You know, like, just pull our minds, out of nowhere.
Some intelligent person with a brain like mine and yours figured out how to manipulate these elements like alchemists to where we can transport our voices across the world.
Yeah.
People are looking at us in these cameras.
This like, where the fuck did our voice even go?
His name is Thomas Edison.
Thomas Edison. You know what I mean?
Henry Westinghouse.
What do you think about people? There's some, you know, crazy conspiracy ideas about Edison stole a lot of his technology ideas from Tesla.
He did, but listen, yeah. And Edison said,
and why was Tesla killed?
I don't know about that, but I know Edison tell you, he said, you got to be a good stealer, and I know how to steal. So Edison's good.
Hey, man. Yeah.
So listen, J.P. Morgan stole General Electric from him. That's his company. That's Edison coming General Electric, and they believe that J.P. Morgan stole it from him. That was his scientist. He was J.P. Morgan's scientist.
You know, it's all of that. I mean, those are just our ideas about it being stolen.
And when he made the light bulb, he said, you're so stupid.
Well, who, and the also the idea of stealing intellectual
property
like that is like, where did the first guy get it? It's just an idea that floated into his mind.
Right.
All those guys like Jay Gould and those guys, those guys
like, it didn't really come from one person. It came from everything.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
It's not always who does something first, but just who does it the best and gets it out to the most
people. Puts their name on it.
Right, and who put their name on it.
Yeah.
The winners are who writes history, you know? Like, I was watching 300 the other night, right? It was one of my favorite movies. I like that movie. But I'm like, yeah, why do these Greek people got British accents? That's not a thing, right? And then it's like, why are the evil people black and Arab? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? Okay, if you're making people look like that, why are, like, the 300, that story is, of course, is a fiction, but it was
a real story.
Thebes.
Yeah.
So the 150
gates of fire.
They were lovers. bisexual gay lovers, right?
They were lovers.
Like, tell that part of the story. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, okay, no, I'm telling the story, so I tell it how I want to.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's whoever's telling the story writes history.
Exactly. They're
the greatest fighting team. Exactly. The gay lovers were the greatest fighting team.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes sense.
Like, that's, listen, for instance, Benedict Arnold. When you hear that name, like, bad name.
Traitor.
Benedict Arnold's the baddest motherfucker in George Washington's army. George Washington was jealous of him. Mm. You didn't know that, did you?
No. Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy because that name is associated with
He's bad. He's a badass. Mm. But look what the history done to him.
Right. Yeah, you got to win to write history.
West Point, all that stuff, champion and everything he's done. And now he's a fucking traitor.
Traitor. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So listen, this is what we're doing now, man. Our company's worth around $300 million. And
killing the game.
Killing. I'm very proud of all of us in here. We all worked real hard and stuff.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun to be a part of it, Mike.
It's fun to watch. It's fun to watch, you know. I love where you was at in the 80s and 90s. I love where you are right now, you know.
Yeah, it's all about evolving.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah. God willing, if I'm alive 10 years from now, what's going to happen then?
Yeah, I love it.
Have an oil company or something. Are there going to be new minerals? Because I hear some
energy.
New minerals are going to be out. Yeah.
Energy.
Well, so I'm Mike, I'm mad happy for you.
Thank you, bro.
I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, we can ready to do that again, Manny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On tour.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
And
Mike, so when I was watching the podcast, all right, so when I saw you in LA a few years ago at the expo, so this is how that happened. I'm going to tell a story. Like, I love Mike Tyson. You know what I mean? I look at him like a big bro. And he was one of my childhood idols, right? After my father, you know? So I'm watching there was the LA Fit Expo, and I had no interest in it. This is probably 2011, 2012. So I'm just hanging out at home, and then somebody put on Twitter or Facebook, I just seen Mike Tyson at the expo. I'm going to go see my big bro. So I drive up there by myself, and I didn't know where you were at. I just walked in, and I happened to walk right to where you was at. You was like this. You were signing pictures. You know, you weren't even looking at the people, right? So I just stood there. I just stood there in front of you. And I didn't say nothing. You had your hand out, like, for the picture, and you looked up. You was like, look at you. This is my friend. You told me to come around. You like, look at you. You look good. You used to be so skinny. And da, 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 da. He said, how's Manny? Call Manny. You remember that, Dad?
Yeah,
I remember that. And you call him, like, what's up, Manny? What's up, nigga? Da, 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 da. You just shut the line down. You know what I'm saying? You know, and so, you know, it's always been just that genuine love, like, we don't want nothing from you but you to be good. That's it.
I can dig it.
So then I seen the podcast. I'm like, yo, this is dope. And then I'm checking Eb out. I'm like, yo, I fucks with Eb because Eb loves Mike. I can see it. You know what I'm saying? I see that. It's genuine. Like, Eb's a solid guy. Yeah. So when me and Eb connected on Instagram, it was dope. It was like, it always happened the way it's supposed to happen. When I moved to Newport or that area, people were like, yo, Mike Tyson live out here. I'm like, that's dope. I've even seen you at some UFC fights. Hmm. We'll be like, you know, we're all front row, but it'd be like a gate. And I'm not going to yell. I'm like, I'll see him. We'll run into each other. You know what I'm saying? I always had confidence in we're going to be brought around each other somehow. And it happens. It always happens. And this just played out. It played out so dope. Because for y'all that don't know, like him, my dad and Mike fucking rocks with each other. My dad loves Mike. Mike loved my dad. And I wanted my dad to see Mike so bad. Yeah. So this all happened. It wasn't some big scheme. I'm like, okay. Like, we play it cool. We met. We ran into each other. Then y'all call me on the plane. I like, cool. I'm going to fly Pops out. Don't tell nobody. You know what I mean?
He surprised me. When he pulled up here, I said, what kind of place is this, man? He says, it's a podcast. I said, oh, okay. I said, you know, Mike do a podcast. He said, you ever watch?
Right before he got the car.
I said,
you
yeah.
said that?
Yeah. I said, Mike does a podcast.
That was his first words.
I said, yeah, I watch it a lot, man, you know?
So I love that.
So wait, we're walking in, and then I smell the weed. I still didn't put it together, and I'm saying, like, damn.
He's smoking it.
Then they got him on the podcast with
LL.
And I said, yo, I seen that one with him. Then I looked around, and I seen him. And I said, that dude look familiar, man. When I heard that deep voice,
giant
I looked
voice.
At him.
That was the giveaway.
And your man here said, you ever see Mike? I said, yeah, I used to be, man, he was real cool. He said, yeah, he'll be here in a minute. I said,
Damn it.
It was a pleasant.
Well, man, I'm so glad I could help get you guys together,
appreciate
man.
That, man.
Absolutely.
We're going to do Noriega today, too. Right?
Yeah, Noriega's later this afternoon.
Right.
Yeah, bro. Sean, great to have you here, man.
Up here soon. Y'all got everybody.
Hey, it's an honor to be here.
You like mystics and stuff like that. Right. What's that guy's name again?
Sadhguru.
Africa God. What's his name? Alandi Africa, what's his name? This guy, the health guru guy, black guy.
I don't know.
Alandi.
Young guy? New guy?
It's not up yet. It's not live yet, right?
No.
Okay. I forgot his name. What's that?
When is that?
No, I'm gonna call right now and see what's that guy's name.
Call him after we finish here.
Okay. I'm gonna call now.
Manny, so great to have you, man. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
No,
love you, Mike.
We love you, nigga. Chill.
You're an inspiration, bro. I love it, man.
Thank you.
And Mike, of course, brother.
Yeah, man.
My brother from another mother, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thank you for having us. Really appreciate it, man. It's really good to see
you. So where
are
you living at right now?
Newport Beach.
That's just the permanent.
Yes.
Real.
I'm here.
He moved here last year to go all in for Ambrosia.
With the company. Yeah.
We have our office right there, too, by Hoag Hospital. You know where that is?
I have no idea.
It's pretty close. Yeah, it's real close.
It's right in there.
It's right in Newport Beach.
Tell them where they can find the products, guys.
Yeah.
AmbrosiaCollective.com or just at Mike Rashid on it, whatever.
Yeah.
And we got you.
We're going to have a care pack sent up here because we want you drinking the Planta. If you're making smoothies especially,
I
want Planta in there.
Planta.
That's our organic plant-based protein.
Plant-based.
Yeah. We don't make any.
Life change.
Yeah.
Organic brown rice.
Life, best thing I ever did in my life.
Right.
This shit.
I feel
revitalized. Yeah. I feel like I got my youth back.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
It's great, bro. Mm-hmm.
This is dope.
It's awesome, guys. Yeah. Well, Mike, great show, man.
I think so, it's beautiful.
A lot of fun. 100%. A lot of fun to have you guys 100%. Here. A lot of love.
All love.
I'm going to go get to work on the Tyson vitamin.
Yeah. Fucking A. Yeah. Dick stays hard, baby.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Well,
let's do it. Will y'all buy that?
Joining
y'all
us.
Leave a comment. Would y'all buy that? Y'all want that?
Yeah, leave a comment. Do you want the dick stay hard
dick
pill?
Dick
stay hard pill.
I'm sure.
All natural.
I'm sure most dudes
organic.
Watching this shit do.
Blast from the past.
Blast from the past, baby. Hey. Check out our website, hotboxandpodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We love you guys. Until next time, I'm Evan Britton.
I'm Mike Tyson.
Mike Rashid.
Sean Torbati.
Manny.
One love.
Yeah.
Love y'all. Peace.
Peace.